Oh, you better get your Bible. Yes, sir. Thank you. We've got some here tonight from Pelzer, Grace Baptist Church over there. The three children there were in Grandpa's Kids this past week. And that's what we have in our meetings. I have buttons for them. And we get depressed about not having children. And the worst thing about that is we don't have any grandchildren. So years ago, I started adopting all the children, 12 and under, in our revival meetings. And we practice a little chorus right before the service. And then they sing, early in the service. And, in a week's time, you get right attached to these children. It's easy for them to fantasize another granddaddy. Some of them don't even have a granddaddy or don't know who they are. And so we have a great time with that. Sometimes we just have a small number, but I think we've had 150 or more in some of our meetings. When those children singing, it does something for you. And so pray for us. I want to keep on going. My wife is my greatest critic. She said, "You forgot something this morning." I said, "What was that?" She said, "You said there were three things when people don't have any hunger. And you said they could be dead." I got that one. "And the second point was they could be sick and they don't have any appetite. But I forgot the third one. They could be filled up on junk food." And a lot of folks today, they watch religious television and they listen to any and every kind of music. And they run with a worldly religious crowd. And so they just feed on junk food. So I tell you what, I can't get by with anything when she's with me. She reminds me. She knows my messages better than I do. Well, it's really good to have been here today, and I trust God will bless this church. And we're going to be praying that you'll get God's man as pastor of the church. In the meantime, be faithful. The devil will try to get in, discourage you, and try to get you to go somewhere else. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. And just stay faithful here. I want you to turn your Bible tonight to the book of Hosea, chapter 10. If you don't know where that is, look in the index. Right after the book of Daniel. And he's called one of the minor prophets, but I tell you, he has a major message. Hosea chapter 10, and I want you to look with me, please, at verses 12 and 13, where the prophet says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men." Now, this is farming language. You reap what you sow. If you sow carrots, you get carrots. If you sow potatoes, you get potatoes. Beans, you get beans. You do not get apples off of orange trees. You reap what you plant or sow. And that's true spiritually. Some people want to reap a spiritual life and get rewards for that when they sow to the flesh, and of the flesh reap corruption. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then he uses another farm expression here. And that's where we're parked most of this message. Break up your fallow ground. I have asked farmers in different sections of the country, What is fallow ground to you? And I have had various explanations from farmers. But as far as I can tell, in Bible times at least, fallow ground, there were three distinctive things about fallow ground. First of all, fallow ground was unproductive ground. It did not produce anything that was worthwhile. Nothing to feed the family. Nothing to feed society. Unproductive ground. Now, I don't like to apply that, because it hits me between the eyes. So many of our churches today, we're just not producing strong families. We're not producing preachers, soul winners, missionaries. We're not producing souls. There's every indication that the ground is fallow ground in our churches today. The second distinctive thing about fallow ground, not only is it unproductive, but fallow ground is undisturbed ground. It has not been plowed. The soil is undisturbed. The cultivator has not been in. And we are like Jonah when he was down in the sides of the ship with a storm raging outside, and we're asleep. Our country's going to hell, folks. The nations that forget God will be turned into hell. We're in days of crisis. Even fundamentalism is in crisis today. But most of us are, I've heard that before. And we seem undisturbed. Undisturbed that our young people, after years of being raised in a Christian home and going to a Bible-believing church, go out and serve the world. Oh, they may not be on drugs. They may not be at the bars. Or they may be. But for the cause of Christ, it's lost. We're undisturbed. When's the last time you saw a great revival break out? It's been a long time since I've seen one. You almost have to go overseas to see a revival. That grieves our hearts, or it should. Undisturbed. And then the third distinctive thing about fallow ground, not only is it unproductive and undisturbed, it's unclean. What do you find in a field that's not producing something worthwhile? Thorns, rocks, stumps, weeds, briars, nettles, all kind of undesirable things. And what do we find in many of our churches today? Bad attitudes, bitterness, selfishness, worldliness. Am I telling the truth? The world has invaded our churches. And we've got unclean ground. Now, that's negative. What can we do to get the fallow ground prepared where it will produce a crop for the glory of God? Well, the first thing, we've got to start with the unclean part. We go out to the field. Oh, my. Here's all this, these briars and all this stuff. Let's get it in a thing and let's set it on fire and purge the field. Here's a stump in the way. All right. Get a chain, get the tractor. Be careful. Don't turn the tractor over on yourself. Just keep yanking on it until you pull the stump out, because it'll be in the way. It'll hinder. Uh-oh, there's a boulder here. Well, the tractor's not going to take care of that. Get some dynamite and be real careful. And you blast it out of there. You use whatever force is necessary to clean up the field. And in our local churches, you know, Dr. Bob Sr. used to have a saying, if you'll handle every problem when it's small, then it won't become a big problem to you. But the thing is, we don't. We let things go on and on and on, and by the time we handle it, we need dynamite. And we need to clean off the field. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Well, we'd like to have this business of forgiveness and a fruitful field and all that, but this business of humbling yourself and confessing your sin. David, in Psalm 32, said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, conviction. And then he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. But he had to deal with the sin problem. Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Iniquities created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, to be holy, to be clean. We may grieve over the sins of our nation, but we probably need to start grieving over the sins of our own hearts. Now, the next thing you do to unclean ground, after you clean it up, then you break it up. You come in with a plow, the cultivator. You got to loosen up the soil. The Word of God is likened to a sharp, two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Now, it could also be likened to a plow that plows up the fallow ground. And all of us like soothing things today. You know it hurts to get cut on. Have you ever heard of anybody looking up at the surgeon after you have surgery saying, oh, doctor, I really enjoyed that surgery? You don't enjoy surgery, but it's necessary. And I tell you, some of the sermons I've heard from my brethren, that preachers, I didn't enjoy them, because they cut on me. And we need to get cut on. We need the fallow ground broken up. I had a friend that had a wisdom tooth, abscess wisdom tooth. I came into his real estate office. He was holding his jaw. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I've got a wisdom tooth just giving me fits." I said, "Let's go to the dentist." "Oh," he said, "no, he'll hurt." Well, he was already hurting. And I said, "Now, we need to get that taken care of." He said, "No, I'll take pain pills. I'll get better." And he'd get a little better for a while. Then I'd come back in. He'd hold in his jaw again. I said, "You got to go to the dentist." "Oh," he said, "Brother Bill, I've got feathers all over my legs." That meant he was chicken. And so finally one day he lost weight. He looked awful. And I said, "Is there anything special you want me to say at your funeral?" I said, "Is there anything we can do for your widow when you're gone?" He said, "Brother Bill, don't talk like that." I said, "You better get to the dentist." He finally obeyed. And then he blamed me because it hurt so bad. I tell you, it does hurt. But you've got to deal with... Well, let me go at it from a different angle. You have to deal with garbage in your life. If you're going to have a clean feel or a clean heart, you got to get rid of the garbage. We were, I think it was up in a suburb of Chicago, Dr. Van Gelderen. No, I think it's somewhere else. I don't know. Shirley will correct me. She'll tell me where it was after I get through preaching. But I preached on getting rid of garbage in your life, and the pastor actually bought a trash can to church. Was that at Oak Forest? Your church? No wonder I preached on it there, huh? And I said, "We need to get rid of garbage." And so he brought a garbage can, a trash can to church. And for the rest of that meeting, we had men throwing their cigarettes in the garbage can. You know, in the South, they do smoke in places. And we had folks throwing music. Back in those days, albums, he talked about the album we had. You know, Oral Roberts had an album too, but the hole in the middle kept healing over. Ours didn't heal over. It was all right. And we get lots of requests, but we sing anyhow. I want you to know that. But this old carnal, worldly music, we had them throwing that stuff in the garbage can. Now, it's hard to throw attitude, thorns, rocks, stumps, and weeds, or garbage in the garbage can. What about that spirit of pride? The egotism we have. Do you see that in some of the politicians? Worse still, do you see it in some of our lives as Christians? Do you see a root of bitterness inside sometime and you're just not willing to forgive that person? And you're miserable. But you let the weed keep growing? Do you see the selfishness that's in our lives sometimes? It affects everything in our family and our giving and all of that selfishness. And, well, it's impossible to mention all the weeds that can come up. But if we're going to get the field cleaned off, we've got to get rid of those things in our lives. And if we confess our sins, what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, confessing your sins, not kneeling by your bed momentarily at night and say, "Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Amen." Going right back to it tomorrow. It's naming some sins before God, saying, "God, I side with you against that sin in my life. I know it grieves you, and because it grieves you, it grieves me." We've got to deal with sin problem in our lives. As Bible-believing Christians, this is scriptural. So, you clean up the field, you break it up, and then what do? You sow it up. You go out where there used to be thorns, rocks, stumps, and weeds, and you plant something positive. Potatoes, beans, okra. You Yankees don't know what that is. But all these good vegetables, you plant those. Now, if you don't, you can clean the field off, but the weeds and everything come back in if you're not careful. So you need to plant something good and you need to take care of the field. But understand, all of us are limited. We only have so much acreage in life. And you say, well, I'm going to plant, let's suppose Shirley and I have a dozen children. That's really supposing. And I say, honey, with the price of groceries, we've got to plant a garden and feed these children. And so I plow up part of the garden or part of the yard or wherever, and I get home in the afternoon ready to plant some good vegetables, and I see the garden is already planted. Here's a row of chrysanthemums. Here's a row of daisies. Here's a row of some other flower. And I say, what's this in the garden? She says, flowers. Don't you like flowers? Yes, I love flowers. But you can't eat them. Now, if you want flowers, plant them along the driveway here. Put a flower box under the window and put some in that flower box. But you can't plant flowers in the vegetable garden unless you put some sunflowers around the edge to keep some of the birds out. What's the point? There are some things that are not necessarily sinful in themselves. But when you get them in the wrong place, they become sinful. I think sports are fun. When I can, I like to participate, or I like to be a spectator at some of the sports. But if I let football or golf or fishing or any of those things take the place of my devotions and my faithfulness at my local church or my family, then that becomes a sin. I think certain civic activities would be good. I believe Christians ought to be involved in the community. But no civic organization is to ever take the place of your church and your family. Business is necessary, but you're to put the Lord first. Your church, your family, put things in their proper place. And what does God say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, another thing to beware of is you plant the right kind of seed. That is, every day you read your Bible and pray. Every day you seek to witness to somebody. Every week you're out at your local church. From Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, whatever, you do your best to be faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We're to sow the right kind of seed. Money-wise, we're to tithe plus offerings. As our brother pointed out, both this morning and tonight, and I think he must like to preach on giving or emphasize anyway. And I've never been bashful about it because it's taught in the Word of God. And it opens doors of blessings to God people to learn that they're stewards of what God has given them. So you put that, you put stewardship first, and you put all these things. And don't get discouraged, though. You say, looks like I'd be a lot more mature in the Lord than I am. I'm trying to sow the right kind. Well, we planted a garden one time. We've always traveled, and we've never had time to take care of a garden, except when we started the church back in Greenville, Tennessee, 51 years ago. We had an opportunity to plant a garden, and we did. I went out with I had somebody plow up part of East Tennessee has some of the most stubborn soil in the world. Red clay soil. And I got that tiller out and bounced up and down, and rocks. I never saw the like of rocks in my life. I'd fill the wheelbarrow up, take it up, fill up a hole somewhere, and we worked hard, and then I planted some crooked rows, and we had some good vegetables. It was good. The next year, I said, it'll be easy this year. We did all that work last year, and this year, it will be easy. I was wrong. That ground grew rocks through the winter. And I was bouncing up and down on one of those red clay clods, and I thought, I'm not getting anywhere. I don't have a lot of patience. Lord, help me. I'm not getting anywhere. And the Lord seemed to say, that's what you think about this baby church sometime, too. Yes, Lord. Sure is hard around here sometimes. I go out to some of these meetings when we see God move in a great way, and I come back here, and it just seems so hard sometimes. He said, be not weary in well-doing. You'll reap if you faint not. And then he said, you think this about your own life sometime too. I said, yes, I do, Lord. All the opportunities I've had to grow and be a better Christian just seem like I don't make much progress, Lord. What's wrong? He says, therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor's not in vain, not only for others, but if you'll keep on plowing and keep the weeds out and water it down good, God will give the increase. And that's what you ought to think about your life. He doesn't forget any of us, and he's so patient with us. Thank him. And that's what you ought to think about this baby church. Yeah, you come up against some things, but hey, God has brought this church into existence for such a time as this. When so many churches are turning to worldliness and compromise and other things, God's looking for a church that'll stay true. And he's going to give you a pastor that'll stay true as you do. And let's break up the fallow ground. Well, that's not all the text, but I better hush all of you hungry for soup. But look at this briefly. He says, break up your fallow ground, for it is what? It is time to seek the Lord. If ever it's been time to seek God for revival, soul winning, victorious Christian living, beloved, it's time. Well, you say, maybe someday I'll get around to, when God says it's time, it's time. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and do what? Rain righteousness upon you. And then, of course, the next verse. But the whole matter is that if we get the fallow ground right and plant the right kind of things in our lives, we are going to produce some fruit. And this will be a strong body of believers for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. My Father, I'm grateful that you've been patient with me. And I'm grateful for all these dear folks that you've saved and that you're going to use